Well, once again, happy Mother's Day, everybody.
What a wonderful day to celebrate the incredible women in our life who have played such an important role in who we are, where we've come from, and where we're going. And right from the jump, I want to acknowledge that I know that this day is difficult for some. Some don't have a good relationship with their moms. Some don't even know who their moms are. Some women are part of a blended family and are helping raise children that aren't theirs. There's so many variables and constantly changing emotions here because of family situations. And some women may not be able to have children and possibly had a miscarriage. I acknowledge that, and I don't want any of the celebration of moms to be hurtful in any way, shape, or form. Whether by bloodline, birth, or appointment from King Jesus, the importance of motherhood, having strong female guidance, is crucial to our world and to our society. It is crucial in how children are introduced to the Lord also. The Pew Research Center published a report on children's religious upbringings. One-third of respondents in a survey of roughly 5,000 Americans said that their mom was more responsible for their religious experiences than their dad. In families where parents of mixed religious backgrounds were present, the percentage was well more than half. And this was especially true in the household in which one parent was religious and the other one wasn't. In those cases, nearly two-thirds of respondents said their mom had the most influence on their religious lives. After myself working in many years in the social services and in the mental health world, it fascinates me that even when someone is raised without their biological mom, God will always provide strong female leadership from somewhere in their life, right? Sometimes it's a sister, sometimes it's a teacher, sometimes it's a pastor's wife, sometimes it's a bus driver. Sometimes it's an aunt or a cousin, sometimes it's an athletic coach. Regardless of where they come from, God will always put strong women in the lives of us who desperately need it. My wife, Gia, your first lady, is a good example of that. When she lost her mom, she was only 4 years old. So she was four, her twin sister was four, Grace was six. As they look back over their life, she's been able to see the woman that filled that role for her, whether she realized it at the time or not. She had her grandmother and a few aunts and her oldest sister, Sarai, who protected her from so much that Gia didn't even realize until she was an adult. And now she has my mom, who she lovingly refers to as Mum. That's also the reason that you don't see Gia here today, and you probably won't ever see her on Mother's Day weekend, because she has a tradition with her sisters that they go away together to celebrate together, to worship the Lord as a family for delivering them from the previous lives and into His protective hands. After Gia's mom died when she was four, she and her sisters bounced between family members and foster homes, facing years of abuse and surrounded by addiction and brokenness, and they all faced so much trauma. So, yeah, they get together on Mother's Day to celebrate as victors. They've broken the generational curses on their family. All three sisters have become incredible moms, and they all are living proof of the restoration of our God. That's why they get together for Mother's Day weekend, and it's beautiful. A mother's love and encouragement helps shape our worldview. Godly mothers and women impart faith that guides and strengthens us. The influence of a mother cannot be overstated. George Washington, our first president, said this about his mother: "All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all of my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received from her." And then Abe Lincoln, our 16th president, spoke of his mother's prayers for him, and he said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers and that they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life." And what would a sermon be without a Spurgeon quote? Got some Spurgeon quotes on mom. There's two of them. Number one, "The smile of a mother's face has enticed many into the right path, and the fear of bringing a tear into her eye has called off many a man from evil ways." Ain't nobody want to disappoint mama, right? I love this one. Spurgeon said, "The devil never reckons a man to be lost so long as he has a good mother alive." The prayers of a praying mom are powerful. Amen. I shared this last Mother's Day. Some of you may remember, but I felt led to share it again. So I want to talk about my mama for a bit. I'm so glad she's here today. As many of you know, grew up a pastor's kid. Mom was a nurse. She worked overnights. And when we were little, she sacrificed so much to take care of our family through the years. And the love and the care that she still pours into us is a testament to how much she loves God, and her faithfulness and prayers are rewarded by our Lord. I can tell you hundreds of stories, but let me tell you just two. My big brother Danny, some of you have met. He's got cerebral palsy, and he's been in a wheelchair all of his life. The tireless dedication and hard work of a parent of special needs kid is remarkable enough, but there's a lot more to be said. After I graduated high school, Danny moved into a group home, the same one he still lives in today. He's in the same room. He's the king of the house, and he's very happy there. Through the years, it was impossible for the staff to take care of his teeth properly. Danny is a wheeler, so he loves his sugar. He really loves his Pepsi. And as he got older, his teeth began to decay and fall out and had to be taken out. There wasn't much that could be done. The teeth kept coming out, and it got harder and harder for Danny to eat. And the group home had to blend up his food, and it was just uncomfortable. There's Danny. See that big toothless smile? As you can see, Danny's a happy dude. I've told people all my life, Danny's the happiest person I've ever met. Maybe because he doesn't know our stress in the real world, but he's the happiest person I've ever met. His smile is infectious and he loves to laugh. And as his teeth got worse and worse, Mom began to pray that Danny would have a full mouth of teeth again, that God would restore his smile. Danny will have a full set of teeth again. She must have said it hundreds of times. Mom is a prayer warrior. And as I said, the prayers of a mother are powerful and effective. The devil never reckons a man to be lost so long as he has a good mother alive. So Mom and Dad began to ask around about what could be done. And this was about the time that dental implants started taking off. So they couldn't find anyone that was willing to work on him because of the palsy, and he had to be out under anesthesia for any dental procedures. So Dad wrote a letter to another dentist's office explaining everything and asking for their help, and they were willing to help. Yay! Wow! Awesome, right? Dad forgot to put the contact info on the letter, but that didn't stop God. God found a way for them to still get in touch with him. My mother's work in the medical and legal world helped make the connection, and that dentist office connected to my parents. And after months and months of consults and appointments and a few delays, a missed surgery due to a mistake, the prayers of a praying mother were answered. Danny's got a full set of teeth. God didn't make them grow, but God made it happen. The prayers of a praying mother are powerful and effective. A true miracle. Danny can eat normally. He has a full mouth of teeth. God gave him back his smile. The prayers of a praying mama are powerful and effective. Don't forget it. And the other story I want to quickly tell about my mama's, you know, some of you, most of you know my story. You've heard that part of my testimony is that I ran from the Lord for 20 years. God mixed it up in all sorts of bad stuff. My parents were consistent in their love and their presence in their life and in their constant praying for me. And when I tell you Mama is a prayer warrior, I mean it. She's usually up somewhere between 3 and 5 a.m. doing battle in her prayer room, waging war in the spiritual realms. Prayers and petitions are being sent. Declarations are being made, just like Danny's teeth. And she has an incredible faith that is displayed through her relationship with Jesus. Through the years, another one of her fervent prayers during my time away from the Lord was for me, her musicianary, to come back to Jesus. For the Lord not only to call me back, but to allow me to use the gifts that he gave me for his kingdom. She prayed these prayers for years, probably all 20 years that I was gone. Well, obviously, as you know, those prayers were answered, and here I am standing before you today using the gifts that he's given me. And once I came back to the Lord and got settled into the church that he wanted me at, he reminded me of my musical gifts, and I got that Holy Spirit nudge to audition for the worship team. And I did that, and within 2 weeks, I was on the platform at the church using the gifts that he'd given me, playing the piano that I haven't played in over 20 years. That Sunday morning that I played, I was at the campus that my parents attended. It was 5 years ago today, and it happened to be on Mother's Day. How about that God wink? God answered her prayer, and the blessing that it came to fruition happened on Mother's Day. The faithfulness of a praying mother will always be rewarded. So I know some of you struggle with where your kids are at and what's going to happen and what the future holds. Keep praying. Keep your heart focused on your faith and on your King and on his grace and mercy. And know that when you train up a child in the way he should go, he will grow old and not depart from it. He may have to take the long way around the block, like I did, but he or she will not depart from it. In that verse, that phrase, train up, is from the Hebrew word hanak, and it means to develop a person's behavior by instruction or practice. Sounds a lot like motherhood, doesn't it? In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son and protege Timothy. We've been talking about him a lot over the last few weeks. And in chapter 1, verse 5, he writes, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that that same faith continues strong in you. Now, we don't know much about Timothy's conversion experience, but the training and demonstrated faith of his mother and his grandmother, both in Judaism and Christianity, played a significant role in his coming to Christ and becoming the man that God created him to be. Mothers, your influence is greater than you realize. Your decisions can affect generations. Your love, faithfulness, and prayers can come back and will break generational curses and usher in a blessed life for the future generations of your bloodline. Your faith in God and his word, along with the faith that you have in your children, is powerful. You leave a spiritual legacy in the hearts and lives of your family that no one else can. No one else is able to. That is a blessing, and moms, you are a blessing. So let's get into today's text. From Proverbs 31, it's a very popular chapter when it comes to womanhood and being a good wife and being a good mother, according to the Bible. The chapter begins with a simple phrase, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. So we don't know much about King Lemuel. He's not recorded in any list of kings in Judah or Israel. So he was probably a pagan king who put his trust in Yahweh, who converted and who followed the covenant God of Israel. And through the fear of, and love of God, he learned godly wisdom. And chapter 31 is an oracle that his mother taught him. The wisdom of a mother was imparted. This is so cool. The mother's wisdom was imparted to her son and shared in the inerrant word of God to last for all eternity. How cool is King Lemuel's mom? That's awesome. So the whole chapter is awesome, but because of time, we're not going to go through the whole thing. We're starting verse 20. Let me get my clicker. So verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. The virtuous wife and mother is much more than a skillful home manager or a homemaker. She's also a woman of great compassion. She cares and helps both the poor and the needy, doing more than throwing money at them, but actually draws near to them and extends her hand and reaches out to those in need, not just staying confined into caring for her family. You may realize and notice that this is a constant command of our Lord throughout Scripture, right? To help the poor, to feed the hungry, to care for the sick, to clothe the naked. These acts show the love and the compassion of Christ in a real and tangible way. These acts show the goodness of God through our lives and actions. And that is what a good mama does. Verses 21 through 23. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. This kind of gives you a really cool picture here. The virtuous wife and mother has the wisdom, diligence, and preparation to prepare her household for all kinds of challenges and adversities. Her fear of the Lord and the wisdom that flows from it invites God's blessing into all of their lives, even being able to clothe all her household in prestigious scarlet. Now, this is an interesting fact here. I'm going to be a Bible nerd for a second. Some wonder why scarlet clothing would be connected to the fact that she is not afraid of snow for her household. So you think about when you're going to the fair and you make sure your kids are wearing fluorescent orange so you know that you can find them. So some people are like, well, maybe they just wore scarlet because against the snow, she'd be able to find them. But that's not the case, I don't think, because it is possible that this idea doesn't describe color at all, but it actually describes doubly thick garments. The Hebrew word here has a plural ending. So that's abnormal for the word scarlet. We're not wearing scarlet clothes, right? The color of the pews are not scarlets. Even though there's multiple pews, it's just scarlet. So it's kind of weird. So the consonants allow that reading to double. That means it's more double. That means it's a double thickness. So in other words, she makes sure that in the snow and in the cold, her family is warm. They're layered up. They're double layered. So with God's blessing on her wisdom and diligence, the virtuous wife and mother makes good things for herself and enjoys personal marks of God's material blessing on her family. The virtuous wife and mother sees a blessing on her family and her household, that her husband is also esteemed and honored among the elders of the land. All this is the blessing of God that often comes to the wife who walks in virtue, wisdom, and in the fear of the Lord. When one spouse is esteemed, the other one is automatically elevated. And that's what happens with this virtuous mom and wife. She's so esteemed that her husband is elevated with the elders. Verses 24 and 25, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Make that connection. And she laughs at the time to come. This is really cool too. The fact that she is willing to distribute and sell linen garments that she makes and has shows that her first priority isn't what's in her closet and what she wears. She ain't worried about flaunting her fancy stuff when she goes to the market. She's not worried about that. She cares even more about the display of her character than the outward display of her clothing. Her heart posture is as God intends it to be. So when it comes to character, she is one of the best dressed because she's clothed with strength and honor so that she shall rejoice not only in the present day but also in the time to come. In verses 26 through 27, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The description of her inner life continues from the previous verse. The virtuous wife and mother has what is often described and valued throughout the book of Proverbs: wise speech and words that show the laws of kindness. Both her deliberate speech and her spontaneous words are marked by wisdom and kindness. And she watches over the ways of her household. As a faithful guardian, the virtuous wife and mom is observant of her family and all of their ways. The choice to watch so carefully means that she does not choose to eat the bread of idleness. Her watchfulness is intentional, it's purposeful, and it's active. That is why they say a good mother never rests, right? Many of you moms can attest to that. You know, when your kids, even especially the grown kids that are out on their own and they're doing their own thing, you're still watching your household. You're still watching what they're doing and you're still caring. You're watching their ways because you want them to be safe and secure. And you are actively pursuing in your prayers and your protection over them because you're a good mom. That's a beautiful thing. Verses 28 and 29, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. I love this. A woman of such character and wisdom rightfully receives the blessings and praises from her family. Both her children and her husband not only see but also speak the blessedness of the woman who brings such a blessing to their household. This is an exhortation to the children and a husband to bless and praise their mother who carries godly character. And many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. These are the words of the husband as he praises his wife, words that encourage, reward, and nourish her. And in a complete literal sense, this could only be true of one woman in any given community at any time, right? But we perfectly understand the sense of this because every home can have a wife and a mother that does excel them all. Every husband can legitimately feel that I've got the most amazing wife. And every child can say, man, we have the best mom in the whole world. Right? That's exactly what that's talking about. And then verses 30 to 31. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. King Lemuel's mother instilled this powerful notion in her son. The passing nature of outer beauty and the deceitful nature of the manipulative charm. In contrast, a woman who fears the Lord has beauty that does not pass and a charm that does not deceive. Physical appearance is not necessarily dismissed, but it simply does not endure, as do the qualities of those that fear the Lord and the qualities that fear of the Lord produces. One who pursues beauty may very well be disappointed by the character of a beautiful person, right? We see this all the time in our world today. I remember saying one day when I worked in the restaurant business, obviously I work with a lot of people, and there's hundreds of people coming in and out of the restaurant all the time, and I will never forget. I was not walking with the Lord, so forgive my judgment at the time, but this thought that popped in my head just reminded me of this. Because this beautifully stunning woman walked into the restaurant, and she was so mean. And I walked to the back of the restaurant, and I walked into my office, and I said, I've never seen such a pretty person be so ugly. But it's true. We may very well be disappointed by the characters of a beautiful person. The fact that she truly fears the Lord and shows that she has a real relationship with Him, to relate her to some familiar characters in the New Testament, she not only was a Martha who was busy with service, but she was also a Mary walking in fear and reverence towards the Lord. She encapsulated both. She, the woman who fears the Lord, has the character and the virtuous wife and mother. The way the character is expressed will differ according to time and to culture, but the character itself is universal. God honors the virtuous wife and mother, the woman of wisdom and diligence, and makes her one of the greatest blessings that humanity has ever received. The virtuous woman will be rewarded by the God she fears and rewarded by what she has accomplished for her family and for herself as they publicly speak of her godliness and her wisdom. For the woman of wisdom, this reward is not their primary motivation, but it is the natural result of their life lived in fear and honor of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? So there is an organization called Motherly, and every year they do a State of Motherhood report. The last one that they did reports that working mothers are experiencing higher levels of anxiety and depression compared to working fathers, with 66% of working mothers reporting a negative mental health as an impact of the current world situation. 46% of mothers are currently seeking therapy. 58% of moms report that they are primarily responsible for the duties of running a household and caring for children. And 80% of mothers are concerned about the economy, the recession, and 71% report they are planning on cutting back spending and not sure what they're going to do to provide for their family. That's a lot of stress. There are increased feelings of inadequacy, exhaustion, frustration, and uncertainty throughout motherhood, and I don't need to tell you that motherhood is hard work. Physically grueling, emotionally exhausting, intellectually numbing. That is why I encourage you to desperately seek the Lord, to do your best to submit to Him and His plan for your life, to speak Jesus over every inch of your family, over your household, and over your own heart. Remember, moms, who you are in Christ. Remember who God says you are. You are chosen. You are forsaken. You're not forsaken. You are a daughter of the Most High, and you are loved beyond measure. Motherhood is a beautiful calling. But remember biblical motherhood. First and foremost, your purpose is to love God more and to submit to Him in all of your ways. This means your motherhood can't be your ultimate purpose. Godly motherhood is a product of fulfilling your ultimate purpose, loving God more and knowing Him better. God's purpose for every relationship we have and every circumstance in our lives, even one as world-shifting, as challenging as motherhood, is to bring us further up and further into His presence. When we find our value, identity, and purpose in our relationship with King Jesus, when we speak Jesus over every inch of our lives, we are sanctified, and godliness is the result. His purpose for your motherhood is that you would know Him better. You would love Him more. You would depend completely on His strength and understand that His faithfulness is special, and He wants you to experience it in a new way. God made you a mom to draw you deeper into His love, into His story. The raising of godly, happy, and loved children is the gracious result of your deepening relationship with God. Moms, I hope this message has been an encouragement to you. And let it be proof to you that your hard work, trust, and faith in the Lord will always be rewarded. Women, whether you're a mother or not, know that you play an important role in all the children in your life. And in the loving, nurturing, and caring nature that only you can provide is important to every person that you will meet and come across. Women, as guardians of future generations, you are instrumental in instilling the principles of our faith in our children and guiding your households towards King Jesus. Your faith and trust in the Lord will open up doors for others to walk through that you can witness to, share your testimony with, share the love of God with, and help grow the kingdom of God. Help bring His children home to Him. Moms, your prayers are heard and they are powerful. Your faith is inspiring, and we need you in your lives, and we love you so very much.